This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Are you familiar with Buddhism?
Yeah. That's a couple of times. And I saw Khabib fight his last fight, right? And something really caught my attention when, like, he's a main character and he plays a big role in the Sinaloa cartel.
They do a lot of witchcraft over there in Mexico. They deal with a lot of jinn over there in Mexico.
For me, that was like just like go stories to scare kids, right? I felt this jinn grab my hand, brother. Like his fingers were so long that he went like.
MashaAllah.
Allah is the greatest, brother.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Now, our next guest was living in a very dark world, in a very dark place in life. The only thing he believed in was death, as he had encountered so much of it. He was a high-ranking member of one of the main cartel organizations in Mexico, gunfights with government agents and other cartels, until he thought of actually killing himself because he had touched the rock bottom in life. So we want to find out with our next guest how Islam and the Quran impacted his life so much so that he's actually on the Dean Show with my next guest. Go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell. Help us get our numbers back up. Did you know that many years ago, the Dean Show, when we started 2006, we used to broadcast for many years on the Khalifa Clothing Channel, currently known as Digital Minbar. So we're trying to get our numbers back up because the channel at that time got closed. Then we started the official Dean Show channel. We're trying to get our numbers back up to where they should be. And that's this number here, 855, combined what we currently have, 442. We should be over 1,200,000 subscribers. Help us to get our numbers back to where they should be. With that small setback that we had many years ago, you guys can help us by subscribing right now and hitting that notification bell. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget to support us on our Patreon page.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. So you are actually a high-ranking member in the cartel.
Yeah. I belong to several cartels. Before I went to jail. I worked for a small cartel down in Mexico City. I ended up going to jail, and then I ended up going back to the cartels, working for a bigger organization because of what I did inside of jail. You know, what I had the reputation I had earned inside of prison. But it was really difficult. You know, it's been a really long journey.
So for people that don't know what the cartel is, we're going to go ahead and share with them a short little video here so they can kind of get an idea the kind of lifestyle you were involved in.
Deadliest year on record. Despite hopes that the COVID-19 crisis would slow down violent crime, it's had the opposite effect. More than 17,000 people were murdered in the first half of this year alone. In Culiacan, a city of about 800,000 and the headquarters of the notorious Sinaloa cartel, no one is off limits. For Ernesto Martinez, it's the brutality of the killings that stand out.
So what happened?
Se encontró a un agente de la policía municipal ejecutado. Prácticamente le cortaron la cabeza.
Jesus Manuel was a 42-year-old local police officer. A few days before he turned up dead, he'd been kidnapped by cartel members.
Aquí hay tejido, mira, todavía.
That's his brain.
Hey.
Oh man, really?
Why would they have done this? Like, what was he involved with them in some way?
Desde mi punto de vista personal, es mucho odio, ¿no? Para esta persona. Las autoridades han declarado que son los riesgos que corre un elemento de una corporación. Hasta ahorita ninguna.
So I'm sure people get the point now. You know, so how do you go from you're born in Mexico, raised, came at an early age to California, and now how do you end up in such a organization?
I was taken to California when I was like a year. I don't have memories of Mexico. I grew up in California. I went to school in California. You know the type of lifestyle that's in California. You know, there's a lot of gangs. You grow up with a lot of racism. And it was like my family's Christian, right? I grew up in a Christian church, going to a Baptist church. But something happened when I was really young. My family got torn apart. My father ended up in state prison. And it's actually something really, really, really personal in our life. What he did to our family, he broke our family apart, right? And it was like, I was really young when that happened. The last time I saw him, I think I was 10. And I haven't seen him since, you know, but I was really mad at the time because, like, I would say to myself, like, I would see my mom, that my mom was going to church, and she would always take us to church, and I would say, like, well, why did this happen to us if my mom was looking for God, you know? I was too young to actually, like, really believe in God, but I would see Christianity sometimes, you know, like wondering, like, why would you guys worship a human being, you know? What was so special of him to be crucified, to be killed? When I was younger, I was grown to be like, I grew up being proud of who I was, being proud of because I was Mexican, you know? It was all about that brown and proud, you know, that Mexican pride that, like, always came up. Like that's the type of person I was. When my family was broken apart, like, I started doing things I shouldn't do, you know, hanging around with the wrong people. I ended up, you know, like any normal kid, you know, stealing. Just, like, I would sometimes, like, try to, like, do stuff to, like, try to help my mom, because I would see my mom at 9, 10, 12 at night crying, you know, because she was left alone with four kids. I was the oldest one, and she had never worked in the U.S. She didn't speak English. She spoke only Spanish, and that really, like, I was too young, no, to see what had happened, what my father had done in my family. The way that he had destroyed my family, you know, I started just, like, looking for an excuse to belong to gangs, you know, to start doing criminal activity. Basically, my mom told me, like, hey, if you're going to follow that life, like, stay away from your brothers because you're going to give them a bad example, right? And I was like, I'd always try to, like, blame that what had happened with my father, in our family, and, like, I would always try to blame that, like, oh, I'm following the way I'm going because of what he did to our family. But I was just looking for an excuse, right? I started getting into trouble, and I was like, I had to leave the U.S. and I had to just try to, like, look for something different because of the problems that I was getting into. But I didn't know that it's very difficult in Mexico, and it's even more crazier. I had no idea to what extent I was going to get involved, right?
You had no idea what was waiting for you.
Exactly. Like, I thought that was bad, like, that they were bad, like, they were real gangsters. I had no idea of what the human being is capable of doing, you know? I came down to Mexico. Life was really hard, right? Because there's, like, it's a third world country. There's not a lot of money. I went to the south part of Mexico. There's a small state called Guerrero. I was there for a couple of months. I didn't like it, and I moved to a state that's closer to Mexico City. But I still felt like I felt alone because I didn't know anybody, right? I met a person that I consider my brother, because like he saw what I was going through. It's been a long time, you know, since I've seen my mom. When I left them, I was really young when I started walking by myself, when I started trying to like live by myself. So it gets like, it, for me, like Christmas, New Year were really bad days, like because I would see like all the families get together, right? And I would remember what happened to my family, how my dad had affected our family. And a lot of people, like they would probably want to know. I don't want to share what happened to my family, because I don't want to like it was something difficult, you know. And I just don't want to. I don't want to say it, but it was something that was really personal. That I think that if I would have been like if that would have happened, if my dad would have done what he did when I was a little bit older, I would have probably taken his life, you know. At the time, I couldn't because I was too young, you know. I was too scared, and what he had done affected us really hard. So when I came down here, I met this person that I really he really cared for me. His name was Martin. He had his nickname was Niñote, you know. He was from Border Brothers from San Diego. He was living in the south. And he when I met him, he's like, hey, I'm gonna show you some homie love, you know. And he gave me some stuff, and he's like, whenever you want to kick it, you come down here. So I started kicking it with him, you know. He was a small store for a criminal organization, right? But he started showing me loyalty, and he started showing me that I wasn't alone. I had already done a couple of things, you know. I hadn't been that involved in the type of life that requires you to be in the organization. So I like a lot of people ask me, like, why did you join? Like, did you join because of you needed money, you needed power? I didn't. The government's so corrupt down here, and like society's so corrupt, like They killed him in front of his kids, right? They gunned him down in front of his kids.
This friend of yours?
Yeah, this friend of mine. And when that happened, you know, like I went to his funeral, and I noticed that you don't have friends. Like before he got killed, like a lot of like almost all like in that barrio, a lot of the friends, he would have a lot of friends when he was alive, because he would sell drugs, right? He sold weed, like there's different type of drugs, but I would see that they were like everybody was his friend while he was alive. But when he got killed, I consider him a friend because I was very loyal to him, because he showed me a lot of carnalismo, you know, a lot of brotherhood. When he got killed, I was the only one, me and a 13-year-old kid to this day he tells me. Like you guys were like my big brothers, you know, because we would like tell them, hey, what are you doing? Like, don't hang around with those people, because they're smoking crystal, they're doing cocaine, you know. We would always try to like keep them away, like, hey, stay in school, you know, like try to take care of them, because we knew where we were at, and we knew where we were heading. When this happened, like I had a lot of anger in my heart. I wanted to get revenge for what happened, right? So I got in contact with the people that he was working for, and they were like, do you have experience? Like, what have you done? And like, I told them, well, I have experience. I'm not scared. And they're like, all right, then let's go. They took me, they gave me equipment. They gave me people. And I started working, you know, but with that mentality that I'm gonna get those people back. When I wasn't able to bury him, because those same people that killed him, they were looking for me as well, and it really hurt me, you know, to see that none of those persons that would say that they were your friends, they're not there when you die, you know. Those are just fake friends that the world gives you. And when I started getting involved in this, you know, I started like growing, because I was not afraid, you know. I've always been like that type of, I've always had that type of warrior mentality. If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die fighting, you know. And I did start getting those people that had done that to my brother. But I ended up in a situation where I got caught up, you know? I got caught up with weapons and with some drugs, you know, I got caught by the Mexican government. So they catch me and they torture me, right? They're like, hey, you're not, because I had already been once caught, because I got caught with the 9mm, because we were gonna go do a business, but the government caught us. But I went into the holding cells, and like the cartel got me out real quick. The second time they got me, they're like, you're not gonna leave now. But I know the laws here, so I was like, nah, I'm gonna pay the fine for the weapons. I'm gonna sign for the drug and I'm gone. I wasn't expecting that the Mexican government was gonna change things around, and they were gonna put me a murder case, you know, because they knew I was working for that organization. They knew I didn't say anything about the organization because I know how things are here, you know. When you say something or when you rat someone out, you get dealt with. And sometimes by the same government, the government, like, they're just testing you. If you talk about the mafia, or if you talk about the cartel, they won't report you that they have you. They'll take you and they'll give you up.
So you got to see a lot of different scary things. How you talk about this being just a really dark world, I can imagine.
When this happened, like when they put me, when they got, when I was that murder, when I got that murder case, I went into prison, right? And I would see a lot of, like, I wasn't a believer. Like, I didn't believe, like, even if I had that Christianity, like, I had been in, as a kid, I had been, I grew up in Christianity. I didn't really believe in it. I started seeing a lot of weird things, you know, like, down here in Mexico, there's no, what they believe in, a lot of people believe in the Holy Death, right? Have you heard of that? Have you heard of her?
That's what I was going to ask you. There's a couple video clips here. I wanted to ask your question on this. Are you familiar with who this is?
Yeah. That's a Chapo song.
Have you ever met him? What are they saying?
They're trying to calm people down. This is Ovidio Guzman. This is El Chapo Guzman's son.
One of the youngest ones. For the audience, tell us, and the reason I play this clip, because I wanted you talked about there's a lot of different weird things and a lot of different things they worship, but this talisman actually around his neck, is that familiar? Is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amulets, you know. You get them from high ranking witches or how do you call them?
Talismans.
Yeah, they basically kill someone and like they'll offer them to a specific deity or whatever they believe in.
Wow.
And that will protect you.
So give our audience this person now that the authorities are catching.
He caught him like hell broke loose, man. Like, they don't, like, the government has let organizations grow so big. Like, he's a main character and he plays a big role in the Sinaloa cartel. When they caught him, and they caught him by accident, like they weren't trying to get him. Like, hell broke loose in Culiacan. Like 100 to 500 trucks came down from the Sinaloa Sierra, the mountain ranges. They came specifically to free him, or they were gonna start a war. And it got crazy, man. It got really crazy. But it's just a small demonstration, and this is a main city of Mexico, and they had this much impact. Now, this is what you see in the city, like where we were at, and where I have been. Like, I've seen to thousands of trucks, like up to 10,000 strong cartels. Like, my cartel is one of the, it's like they have a pact with this cartel, right? With the Sinaloa cartel, because the Sinaloa cartel works from the half of Mexico, from where Sinaloa is, up to north. They control that part, and we're down in the south, hitting with the border. So yeah. There's a lot of alliances between cartels, right? And there is a lot of like there's a lot of wars also.
En la hora y el momento, madre mía.
Madre mía.
Mi santa muerte.
Mi santa muerte.
Yo como el más humilde de tus hijos.
Yo como el más humilde de tus hijos.
Te pido.
Te pido.
Te ruego.
Te ruego.
Me permitas llegar ante ti.
Me permitas llegar ante ti.
All right, so is this what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So before I joined before I fell into prison, like I had already seen a couple of people with the Holy Death, you know. I've never been like a believer in that. I was very superstitious of anything that was paranormal, right? Or yeah. any, or none of those things.
So you have these superstitions that people believe this is what we, and then you have so many cases of shirk. Now you obviously know as you're a new Muslim, but you know what obviously the difference between the pure monotheism, the tawhid versus yes. the shirk. So you see a ton of shirk happening. Tell us, we're almost out of time. What happened now? How did Islam, how did you in the depths of all this darkness get exposure? You talk about you heard the Quran and it brought you to tears.
Basically, when I left prison, I left with a lot of experience, right? Because I we had a couple of situations going inside, and I started believing in the Holy Death because, like, I would see that a lot of people that would help me out were believers in this in her. When I came out, I joined a very large organization, and I spent a lot of time doing things I wasn't supposed to. I started growing in there, but at the same time, I started seeing that people that like you're just a pawn in a bigger game. When you're no longer required, you're gonna get cut off by the same people, and maybe like not maybe it's not even from the top. Someone else that wants what you have, he's gonna do something to take that away. I had run into a lot of hard situations where we had encountered government and we've had to really fight our way out. And like, my mentality was in that I knew I was going to die there. I knew that my life was going to end fighting and belonging to these cartels. And that mentality of knowing that I was going to die, like I wasn't afraid of it, you know, I was ready to die. And I've been really close to death a lot of times. But what actually started scaring me was that I wasn't scared of dying. But what was there to come after death? Like, I started noticing a lot of things. Allah sent me a dream before I left the organization, and I saw myself getting killed by my own people, right? By the own people that I was working for. I didn't know about God. I really didn't believe in it. But I just said, like, out of nowhere, like, I just had to leave, you know? I had that necessity in my heart just to leave. Like, just, what are you doing? Like, you're gonna die for something that has no value. You're gonna die for people that are not loyal to you. So I decided to leave, like, out of nowhere. Just got up, left in the morning. Like, when they woke up, they were looking for me like crazy because I had a lot of people that were working for me, and I had a control over some large territory of that cartel. I just left. I ended up in a small city, renting a small room, had nothing, just by myself, you know. And I really didn't know what was the purpose of my life. I didn't know why I was still alive when I had to be dead, right? And I started falling into depression because of what I had and what I did to what I was, where I was at. And I had that little voice like, you're a coward. Like, you're a coward. I thought you were going to die for those people. I thought you were going to die in the fight. You know, that's like, I felt really lost, like really, really lost, man. And I started getting scared because like of the whispers I would hear, like, I couldn't find peace. Like I couldn't find something, you know, And it got to the point where I sat down in my bed and I was thinking of like, should I kill myself, man? Like I have not done anything beneficial for no one here in this life. Like, why?
You actually got to a point where you're contemplating suicide, huh?
Yeah, no, definitely, brother. That it got really scary. And that's where the moment where I didn't even like, I just closed my eyes and I said, like, I don't know if you really exist or if you're hearing me this, but man, like, God is merciful, brother. And it's hard. Because, like, I don't know how. You know, like, I look at my life and I guess, like, God is most merciful. I just asked him, like, I didn't even know how to call on him, you know, because I had never looked towards him. And I knew that I hadn't been a good person, man. And I just asked him, like, let me know that you're real. Let me know, guide me to something that is real. Because I'm going to lose myself, you know, I'm going to lose myself here where I am. The next day, I'm into boxing, right? I do Muay Thai. I'm into sports, you know. I've always liked to keep myself really healthy. And I saw Khabib fight his last fight, right? And something really caught my attention when at the end of his fight, he would always give glory to God, you know? And I started like looking up because the only thing I knew about Islam was that they, like what the West showed you, what they try to teach you about it, like that they're a bunch of terrorists. When I started hearing the recitations of the Holy Quran, like my heart was looking for something. Was looking for something real, man. When I heard it, it would break me. And until this day, man, like I'm thinking of writing a book of whatever, because it's like my story is very long. And that point was the point that was like, I had to know more. And it's true what the Quran says, only God guides who he wills.
So you are asking that you are a living testimony that if someone is sincere and they can be in the cartel, they can be in the mafia, they can be in the darkest place, in the darkest room, on the darkest night, in the darkest hole, wherever they are in life. But if they do what you did, sincerely asking the creator of the heavens and the earth, you didn't know how to call upon him. You just asked for the guidance. You said, guide me.
Exactly.
Got it. You didn't pray to a saint. You didn't pray to a human being, to an angel, to Jesus, to anybody, but the one who Jesus prayed to, the one who the messengers prayed to, the one who we are called to pray to, the one who created creation, the one and only creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah. So you prayed to the creator directly and alone, and you asked for guidance. You didn't call him. At that time, you didn't say Allah.
No.
What did you say? You were just in Spanish or what was
it? In English, I just closed my eyes because I was getting to the point where I was looking where to hang myself from, right? In prison, I learned how a lot of people in prison, some of my friends, they hanged themselves because they had.
So you were looking left, right, where to hang yourself. And at that time, you're now asking, this is your last.
It was like in my breaking point, you know? Because like I was mad towards myself because I like there was a part of me that was saying like you're a coward, man, like you're ready to die, like why did you leave, like why did you leave everything behind?
Shaitan is coming now. Shaitan is starting to
And it got worse, man. It got worse. Like I had never had experience with jinn until I actually was striving to follow the teachings of Islam, and instead of getting like instead of being scared, it even affirmation, like it made stronger my belief in what I was looking for, you know, because at that point, like I always take care of myself, right? I'm always taking care of myself legally because I don't want to get caught back up. I said I'm not going back to prison and I'll die. I'd rather fight with government than go back to prison because of what the experiences that I've learned in prison. Now that I turn around and I look at my life and I see that God has guided me to a different place, everything falls into a perfect plan. He is the most great, and he had the perfect plan because a lot of people, like a lot of my friends that I still talk to, they ask me, like they don't believe. They're like, "What are you talking about, man? You're the devil." Because what we've done as cartel members, there's no forgiveness. You know that before I became a Muslim, I would say like I have no forgiveness what I've done.
Subhanallah.
I knew I was gonna die the way I was gonna die because of the things that I have done, you know. And when I was in that point, the breaking point where I was already looking for like where to hang myself, and it was scary, man, because like I couldn't find a purpose. Like, what made, like, you were so scared of dying when you were ready to die, when you had encountered so many problems and so many very dangerous situations. Like, I had bullets flying, like I had, like the cars that we would drive in, like they would get shot up by the army, by government. And nothing happened to me. And a lot of people would tell me, like, because I started believing in this saint, and I would carry a talisman as well, you know, like protection. And one of my friends told me, he's like, you know that she only takes care of you for a certain time, and then your time's up, you know. And I told him, like, we're not afraid of dying, bro. Like, this is who we are.
Well, to the extent that the devil, Shaitan, misleads people,
to that extent, and wow. Because I didn't know better, you know, and now I know that it wasn't her that was taking care of me, it was Allah,
Allah, God Almighty, the Creator.
It's really difficult to swallow that pill, you know, that he is over everything else, and nothing happens because. Nothing happens until he says it, you know. And I knew, like, everybody would tell me, like, even when I was in prison, I had no family, I had nobody that would take care of me. And every time there was someone there that was taking care of me, I found out that they were doing witchcraft on me, right? With this particular saint, and that they were working me they call it Tierra de Panteón. What is it? They go to a certain cemetery, and they work you so you can die.
So they make they do a lot of witchcraft over there in Mexico. Witchcraft. They deal with a lot of jinn over there in Mexico.
But I wasn't a believer, you know. I had her there, I was like, man.
But now that you know from studying Islam. You know that this is what they were dealing with, making connections with jinns.
Yes,
with they were making connections. World of the evil spirits.
But you know what? Like, and now I know. Like, before, like the person that was doing this to me, he thought that those people were gonna that they were gonna affect me, but God used these people to take care of me. All my time in prison. The same people that would come up would be believers in this thing, and instead of causing me harm, they would benefit me in the form that, like, they were in prison, you find out who are your real friends because you can't give them anything, and instead of them like looking down on me, they would help me out and they would tell me, like, you're gonna be someone, man, you're different. They would always tell me that, like, you're different. You have different. You have a different mentality. You're a very smart person, and I would always say, I'm not here to stay, you know. Even though I knew I had murder and I was facing up to 20 to 35 years in prison, I was going to spend the rest of my life there. I was not scared, you know. I would tell him, like, I'm not here to stay, man. I'm here to grow. I'm here to learn. And I'm going to come out even stronger, not knowing that I was going to find guidance to what I now know, you know. But
tell us. Go ahead.
When I came out and I was doing that, a certain friend that was really involved in witchcraft and all this, he told me, he's like, hey, there's this witch that wants to do a cleaning on you, because he's saying that you have that they're working you. And I was like, nah, I'm good, man. He's like, he says that you're gonna end up very in a very bad position. And he's like, and they're working you with that same saint that you have on your on because I had a talisman, right? He's like, they're working with you, they're doing something to you, and not knowing what they were doing, like I didn't really pay attention to it, but Allah was protecting me from everything that they were doing, because nothing that they would do would actually get to me. When I left everything behind, I even like the day that I decided to leave, I ripped it off my neck and I threw it, and I said to myself, like, what am I doing? Like, I didn't even believe in this, and I'm falling into this, because I would see things going on in my life. When I decided to accept Islam, and I was doing my prayers, it was difficult because I don't have anywhere to go, you know. To this day, I don't have anywhere to go to, like, try to get knowledge. The only knowledge that I have is by reading the Quran and what Allah gives me to understand, you know. And seeing your videos, man, I'm a big fan of yours. Like, I always see your videos and they really motivate me, you know. Nice. I had I woke up for Fajr prayer, right? I went back to bed and I started looking at how Shaitan became and his purpose. Brother, like, not a minute passed when I felt like something get on top of me, right? I couldn't move. Like, I tried to talk, and I felt like my lips were sealed. I had never had any type of encounter with jinns like that. Like, I had, for me, that was like just like go like stories to scare kids, right? I felt this jinn grabbed my hand, brother. Like, his fingers were so long that he went like this, and he wrapped his hand like on mine. And I was fighting, like, I was laying down without, like, not being able to move, and I even tried to move my hand, and he grabbed the hold of my, twice I felt his fingers go like this. He picked me up out of my bed and turned me head bottom. And he dragged me in the middle of the room. I was scared that he was gonna let me go, and I was gonna break my neck. The only thing I could say, like, the only thing that I remembered was, this is what I murmured it because I couldn't speak. But I said Allahu Akbar, and like this, brother.
What did you say?
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Oh, Allahu Akbar. You praised Alhamdulillah.
Just God, by God saying
the,
that.
Allah is the greatest.
Just by, like, murmuring, like, I felt back in my bed, and, like, the jinn left, right?
You felt the grip let go.
Just by trying to say it, because I couldn't speak, but just by making the intention of glorifying God, like, this jinn dropped me. Boom. Back on my bed. I woke up, and my heart was like, I had never encountered that, right? Here in Mexico, they have a lot of people say that they see demons and they see jinns. And my neighbor that I didn't even like talk to, because I'm a very, like, I don't have friends, man. Like, I keep everything to myself. I don't go out. Like, he knocked on my door and he's like, hey, can I tell you something? And I was like, yeah, what's up, man? He's like, I want to tell you something, but don't get scared. I was like, yeah, he doesn't know who I am, right? He's like, there was three people standing outside your house yesterday. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, they weren't people. He's like, they were demons, right? That's like they were jinn. That there were three dark tall jinns outside of my house. And I told them, like, oh yeah, I know, man. Don't worry. We left. And I went back into my room and I just said, Alhamdulillah, God is good. Because the devil did not want to let me go. He was mad, you know.
Shaitan, that's how you connected, because the previous lifestyle and all of the horrible things you did from the past, you are a good worker for him, huh?
Exactly. And he wanted he knew because like there's a lot of things that have happened in my life that I couldn't find explanation to, right? A lot of things happened in my life and I've had a lot of things happen that I would say to myself, man, maybe you're crazy. Like, why are you having these? Why are you seeing these things when I didn't believe in them? And when I started like looking for Allah, I started like concentrating. I started saying, I'm gonna change my life. I'm gonna be something better. If I was willing to die for those wrong reasons, now I'm willing to die for all the right reasons. Brother, I had got this job, right? The second day I became a Muslim, they fired me. Like, everything started going against me. Like, everything. And instead of me getting mad, you know, I asked myself, like, this is a test to know if you really want to change, or at the first encounter of problems, you're gonna run back to what you used to know, because that was all I know. I knew to do what I used to do before. I don't really want to say what I did because it's like glorifying that. But I was a very evil person, you know. I would take care of business without feeling any type of, without having a heart. And when I started looking for God, like, I started seeing how I lost my job, like everything was going downhill. Brother, like, people would call me up, like, hey, we know you left, but we wanted you to take care of business. We're gonna pay you this much money. Like, the money that they were offering was 50 grand to take care of business. Like, offers were coming and coming for me to run back. Anybody would run back to that, right? If I didn't know what I had encountered, and if I didn't know what Allah had guided me to, I would have done it, because I had, that was my life. That was what I used to do. That was my business. But I knew that inside of me, I would say, are you going to turn your back on your Creator now that He has guided you to something that is true? Like, that is true. I am 100% sure this is the true religion. Because, like, I talk to Muslims and they ask me, how did you find out about Islam? Did someone preach to you? Did someone share da'wah with you?
MashaAllah.
Allah is the greatest, bro.
May Allah continue to bless you, my brother. We want to get you in these last couple minutes we have. We want to connect you. How can people now, for the Spanish community, you know, to go ahead? You talked about you don't really have a community there, and now you want to continue to learn. You want to grow. There's one New Muslim Academy online that we recommend. It's for new Muslims right after they take Shahada. It's a course now. But then also bigger than that, we want to connect you. We want to go ahead and, you know, get you with the right people. There's our brothers from IslamInSpanish.com. Have you heard of this website, IslamInSpanish.com? Have you heard of that?
I think I have.
Yeah. But how could some of these brothers, you know, our Hispanic, Latino brothers, you know, connect with you? You're currently, are you in California? You're in Mexico?
I'm still in Mexico. I'm close to the border.
Yeah.
I don't really want to say where I'm at because
a lot of that's why you were wearing the glasses and the hat. Yeah,
a lot of people want to see me. Want to see me in a very bad place because
I can imagine. So we'll have them reach out to. Would you?
They can reach out to you.
Yeah.
And you can
your email.
I'll give you your info. Yeah, you have my information. You know.
Okay.
And basically, that's why I try to reach out to you, man. Like, because here, like, I sometimes like, I'm striving, you know, and like, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna give up now that I know what is real because I've seen it firsthand in my life, you know. And when I started learning about the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, like, I would get goosebumps, you know, because I was like, man, I'm a warrior. Like, I would have loved to have been there, you know, knowing that I was going to die for the right cause. Cause like, that's what I would always like. That was my main goal, you know, like I'm a warrior, but now I know that before being a warrior, I'm a slave of Allah, you know? And I ask him for guidance every day. And like, I've been going through some tough, the most important thing that we can have and that they can never take away from us. We can lose everything. We can lose freedom. We can lose everything we can lose in this world, this world. But the guidance that he gives is something that we really have to appreciate because not everybody is guided. Not everybody has the knowledge that we have and the knowledge that we have been given. And it's really true. I really hold that dear that he guides who he will. You know, and that's why we see so much people going astray and so much people falling in that because they're still not guided. But if you do have guidance and you do believe in it, don't ever let it go because that's the most greatest thing we can have, the guidance of the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Absolutely.
And they can never take that away, you know? We can lose everything. I've lost everything, and the only thing I have is him. And that's the only thing I need, you know? So I'm happy. Alhamdulillah, everything. I know everything's I'm getting to that point, and I really want to learn more because, like, I talk to my friends, you know? I have a lot of friends still in that business. And like they tell me like, hey, we respect you, man. We know we didn't like you're not the type of person that just like turns your back. Like that we've been into gunfights with you. Like we've been in gunfights with you. You ain't no coward. But you know now I understand that I have there's a greater plan for me. From the bottom of my heart. I want to be able to tell those people that are in the mafia, that are in the cartels, because a lot of people, like, they think they don't have heart. We have a lot of heart. And I know that a lot of them are there because they can have their own reasons. But I want to share this message because here in Mexico, there's basically no Muslims, you know? There's very, very few.
Inshallah, we can get this. You can get this message to them and share it with them. So we'll try to, inshallah, connect you now. Many people will see this episode and inshallah, they reach out to us and we'll try to make some connections and then inshallah, go from there.
And I appreciate, man, you giving me the opportunity to share because I really didn't want to. Like, I was thinking of it like, yesterday. I was just reaching out so you can give me some advice. I didn't really want to come on the show and like, I wasn't that, I was like, oh, what am I doing? But
very, very, very inspirational story. Live testimony to, again, someone who could be in the darkest of places in the world, but so many gems from your story. And one of the greatest is to call on the creator alone, without any talisman, without any shirk, without any saints, but just the one God, the creator of the heavens and earth, and ask for guidance like you did. And when you were looking around left and right, where you're going to hang yourself, you were asking right before that for the guidance and you got guided. And that's why you're here with us on the Dean Show. Turn to the creator of heavens and earth in Islam.
And I've been eight months striving to become a better Muslim.
Keep moving forward. Keep pressing forward, young brother. Check out this website, newmuslimacademy.com. It's a really good website. And we'll try to make those other connections, inshallah. We'll send you the...
Inshallah, brother.
Okay. Nice.
It was nice meeting you.
Likewise,
hope
brother.
Hope you're blessed, brother.
You too, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Salaam alaikum to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Wow. Can you imagine being in that position now that you go from California to Mexico and now you're in the cartel and you're just doing, you can't imagine. He didn't want to go into the details of any of the horrific things that he did. But then he just hightailed it out of there. And then he's like, hey, he's about to, I mean, the darkness, you know, has overtaken the heart and the soul, and he's about to commit suicide. He's looking around from the left to the right, where to hang himself. And he does. Look, he don't know about Islam. The only thing he heard about Islam, he's thinking these guys are terrorists. And now, but he's doing something that's innate in the human being. He's calling upon the creator of the heavens and earth alone. He's calling upon the creator. He's saying, look, guide me. He didn't call upon it. He didn't say Jesus. He didn't even say God. He didn't say Allah. He just said, guide me. But he was calling sincerely to the one creator, to the creator. That's what the main takeaway. You can be in the worst place in your life. You're not living with purpose, but now you are sincerely wanting to know your purpose in life. You want to know where you're going when you die, why you're here. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth. Ask from the depths of your heart and soul sincerely, guide me, guide me, guide me. And you'll be surprised what happened. Look what happened to our brother there, this amazing story. And look at the perseverance. Make dua for him so he can remain steadfast. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Go ahead and feel free to share all of our episodes out there with the world, because through these stories, we're changing lives. We're inspiring people so they can go ahead and find their purpose, live their purpose. Inshallah, God willing. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.